Introducing touch-free payments from PayPal, a safe way for your customers to pay. Simply download the PayPal app and display your own unique QR code for your customers to scan. Whether you're a market seller,
I'll take two tomatoes and a cucumber,
poodle pamperer, piano tuner, or plumber, signing up to accept touch-free payments for your business is easy. Touch-free QR code payments. Shop safe with PayPal.
Hey, we haven't even pulled away from the drive-thru and you're already digging in the McDonald's bag.
Aw, babe, just a few.
All right, I guess I can't blame you.
Pass me some, too.
The smells too good to get it all the way home meal. There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
And now your favorite spicy chicken McNuggets are back. Get a 6-piece, spicy or classic, for just $2, only at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
My man, can you give me one hit, bro? There's so many, nigga. But it must be crazy, like, when you get to a stadium, there's like 20, 30,000 people and they're all singing a song, man.
Boy, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I think that's better than sex, bro.
Yo, bro, I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that in front of my girlfriend, bro.
Podcast and chill. Matt G, the Ghost Lady, and Len Moleko.
And Marimeni, welcome to the Ladies and Gentlemen. We are back podcasting here. And today, the Ghost is back.
Wow, guys. Is that what you call me these days?
It's a fact, dog. Real talk. Yeah. Prince KB, what's happening, dog?
What's up, man?
Hey, I've been wanting to get you on, dog.
Wow.
Like, I'm such a fan of your music, dog.
Thank you so much, man.
I'll be honest with you, when... you came out with Better Days. I'm like, one hit wonder. Because it was so good. I'm like, how can you make a better song than Better Days?
Yeah.
You know, and then you just produce hit after hit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy is fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
What program are you on? What program do you
use? I'm on FL Studio.
Yeah.
Actually, I've just started being one of the power users on Fruity Loops.
Oh, nice.
So what that means is that when you open the program, I'm the first African DJ to do that.
That's dope.
When you open the program, like, I'm there amongst your VGs, your David Guettas on the FL website. So that's pretty dope.
I think you're the first to do it, ne?
Yeah, the first to do it in South Africa.
How did you get that, bro?
Oh, man, it's God. You know, our ways are not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if you want to be something, you need to do things differently. Mm. No one was looking at that loophole.
True.
Yeah, so
Fruity Loop.
Yeah, in fact, people don't like FL Studio. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm on Reason.
Yeah, you one of them. You one of the guys who hate us, but it's fine.
No, but all the best beats, all the best songs have come from Fruity.
Yeah, taking nothing away from Reason, though. You guys are... Well, the software has done so much for me. You know what I do? I would, like, rewire and take some of the stuff there that I can't find on FL Studio. But I don't use the program. I just go in to steal some of the stuff. And then, you know, it's got proper sound output. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when did your love for music start? Because I know you were... actually, we'll talk about the music later.
Yeah.
If you're still playing football, what team do you think you'd be playing for?
I'd be playing for Pirates, boss.
You reckon?
Pirates. Yo, I'm a fan. I don't play for anything else.
And what number were you?
I was in the midfield. Mm-hmm. Distribution. Like, I've always been a team holder. Mm. You know, I've always wanted to be a leader in anything that I do. So even in soccer games, I was that guy.
So you're like a number six, like a Patrick Vieira.
Bro, I'm the engine of the team.
So what happened? Why couldn't you pursue that?
I twisted my kneecap. You know, after that, I tried very hard to come back. I kept on limping. You know, the coach was like, yo, bro, before you break your whole knee, you don't have a choice but to sit this one out. Yeah. So the season went by. It was Celtics under 19. And then for some weird reason, I was like, why go back? I'm unfit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, nah, let me just carry on with my life.
Were you playing with some people that are still playing soccer now?
There's one I remember George was our coach. I don't know if you know George Naturenga.
Yeah.
He played a big role in developing the Celtics that you see today. Yeah. Who's that tall guy? But we were under 19 and they were the first team. You understand? So they used to come in and check us out. But from our squad, there's no one in the first team now. No one, literally no one. All the guys that would be got, yeah, I can name them, bro.
But it's wrong, no.
No, some went to Swallows. Some went to Emuna. A lot of the guys actually after Bloemfontein Celtic,
yeah.
And it's always a case of money. I don't care what even if they see this. Players were somewhat underpaid, you know, and us looking at that, you wouldn't want to be in the first team. You know what I mean? So I feel like Inje got to the young guys and they left. Yeah.
And then internationally, who do you support?
Because Cristiano Ronaldo left, now I'm Juventus.
Ah, so you're Real Madrid,
yeah.
And you were Man United when he was at Man United.
Yeah, bro, I travel with his homie. But everywhere it goes, I'm there.
It makes sense why you would prefer, I'm assuming you prefer Ronaldo as opposed to Messi.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because he trained and worked hard to get to where he is.
Yeah.
And even with you, like now, I see you as like a strategist.
Yeah.
In terms of, you saw this loophole. you studied it.
Yeah.
And you're like, God, just give me a chance and I will show them flames.
Yeah.
And that's why since better days, you've never looked back.
Yeah. No, man, I've never looked back. Going back to the Ronaldo similarity is that I don't know, man, like working hard and talent, they for me, they don't go together. You know, there's a lot of people that work hard with no talent at all.
Mm.
You understand what I mean? So if you do have the talent, get people who work hard for you. But if you don't have the talent, you don't have a choice but to work hard.
Yeah.
So I don't believe I have a talent. I believe I can master any skill that I put my mind to.
Mm.
You understand? My talent was, I was a sportsman. That's my talent. So with music, it's a skill that I managed to perfect. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just a skill. It's not a talent. So people confuse these things.
How did you perfect it?
You perfect it by working very hard. And what I always say to people.
So basically what you're saying is you have no talent.
No. I don't believe music to me is a talent.
Wow, that's insane. You're so good.
I don't believe that, bro. I don't believe when I play the piano that it's a talent. Something that I was having sleepless nights, bro, like trying to get the keys, the chords, you know, trying to get the music together. And with me, it has always been a case of being number one, you know, the drive. You also need a drive, you know. You can't just work and say, I woke up this morning, I'm working for nothing. No, I'm working to be the best, you know. So it has always been my drive. I'm a very hardworking guy, businessman as well, artist, you know, so I do a lot.
Do you feel you're number one right now?
No.
Who's number one?
There's quite a lot of people that are above me. It's not a one-man thing.
It's not a one-man show.
It's not really a one-man thing, man. Like, there's a lot of people above me that are doing great things in South Africa.
Prince KB, who, dog?
Yo, please, man, you've got your DJ Maporisa. Shout out to Maporisa.
Nah, he's on a different lane. You don't do pianos.
But I'm just saying, artistically, Jay, like, there's a lot of people that are doing great things that I feel like I shouldn't say I'm number one. You understand? I don't deserve the number one spot just yet.
Yeah,
In fact, if there is a number one spot, I don't believe there is. You just keep on going and going and going.
I think you know you're number one. You're just being fake humble.
No,
right,
bro. I don't believe so. I'm panicking right now. I'm panicking. What next song am I going to come up with? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't be comfortable, bro. Like, you can't.
Yeah. Who did you... obviously, a lot of producers, we were all influenced by Black Coffee.
Yeah.
Can I say the same for you?
Because
for me, you like a new school Kent. a new school Clio, a new school clock, you know?
Yeah, for me, black coffee, no offense to black coffee. For me, you asked me a very specific question. I'm going to try and answer it specifically. So you said production. Mm. A lot of people are inspired by black coffee when it comes to production. Mm. He doesn't inspire me when it comes to production. I don't feel his music. Mm. I actually look up to the way he plays as a DJ, as a performer. Mm. He's amazing. That's what I look up to. That's what inspires me. Mm. His hustle as well, as a businessman as well, the things he does for young people, you know, whatever he's into, he always puts Africa first. You know, that for me is very inspirational. But coming back to the music, I'm sorry, bro. Like, I don't even think about black coffee when I'm in studio.
Who do you think about?
I think about your Heavy K's. I think about Heavy K's is the one guy that actually got me into production. I used to attend his show like a fan, like Heavy.
You lying?
I'm telling you, bro. You know a show called Makufe, right?
Yeah.
So Makufe used to book our Heavy K. So like they'll have like a Kalawa Jazmi
stage,
and so I'll go there, bro, and listen to those drums. And like, oh, this guy, Heavy, you know.
And he's got his own sound, bro.
He's got his own sound. He's doing his own thing. The time when he released Wena, that song called Wena, that song.
And Inde.
But Inde is recent. Mm. I'm talking about the old stuff.
Because he was part of Point Five.
Point Five. Mm. After he left Point Five, he became a beast. So at that time, I was attending his shows, you know, trying to find myself as well as a producer and a beat maker, which is two different things. And I don't know if you have time to break that down.
Yeah, break it down for us. Break it down, man.
So there's this thing that's going on, man, on social media, and a conversation that needs to be had with producers and beat makers. You know, I believe that those are two different people.
Mm.
You understand? So the producer actually does most of the work. Because he's a finisher, he's the end result. He makes sure this song is lucrative enough for the market. A beat maker just makes the beat, man. You know, so there's a lot of people that think they are two people. You know, they think I'm a beat maker and I'm a producer and I will make this work. There's so many songs that I hear on radio, so many songs that I hear in the streets that have the potential to be big songs, but they lack production. It's just beat making.
When you talk about production, you're talking about arrangement, mastering.
Not mastering. Mastering is engineering.
Okay.
Production is arrangement, changing of your keys, you know, getting into the root of the song, changing some things there, adding some things. Composition as well as production. Mm-hmm. Recording vocals, directing the vocals. Mm. There's a lot of artists, vocalists that come with a book, like someone would write a whole story. And as a producer, you listen to this and you're like, this is too much for me. Mm. Or this is too much for the market that I'm trying to. If it suits the narrative, it should make sense to you and your market. So you would take out, okay, for me, when we recorded Charlotte with the Lady Zama, she came with a lot of things to a point where we didn't see eye to eye for a long time.
Because, you kidding?
Yeah, because I took out a few words, sentences, lyrics, whatever you want to call it, that she wrote on the song. But the song worked. You understand what I mean? So that's what a producer does. They make
sure. So you're a producer.
Yeah, I am a beat maker and a producer. Like most of my songs, I beat make and produce at the same time. Mm. Like you can take Google It, for instance, a song that was out for 2 years, nothing happened to it.
Mm.
And then I heard the song, I think, when was it? This year? No, last year.
Last year.
I heard the song last year in December, and it was just flying around my WhatsApp. Sapta sent it to me, and then I was bored looking for a playlist, you know, for December.
Mm.
And then I bumped into that song. Like, how? So how long has this song been out? No, man. It's been out for 2 years. It's been pumping. Nothing is happening. And then I asked them to send me the steps. And then I changed the key. I added a piano, added a few drums, and I added vocals. And then, yeah.
So what you're saying is that people in general need to be educated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we think beatmaker and producer is the same thing.
No, we think it's the same thing. And it's such a serious thing in the States. I don't know if you know Rihanna's work. The song Work.
Yeah.
Work. 8 people wrote that sentence. Yeah. Imagine.
Yeah. Even in EDM.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like there's ghost producers that their job is solely just to produce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not produce, beatmake.
Beatmake, sorry. Yes. Yeah.
Your job is just to beatmake, and then the producer will come and make the song lucrative. Mm. I want people to also understand this is a business, man.
Mm.
You know, you can't just make beats all the time, over and over. You need to feed your kids. You are a grown man. Imagine a grown man, like at the age of 50, still beatmaking. Mm. You understand what I mean? So you need a producer.
So do you think with Kabza and Maphorisa, Kabza's the beat maker?
I don't know what I don't know them personally, as in like I've never been to their studio. So I wouldn't know who's the beat maker, who's the producer. But judging from Maphorisa's history in the music industry, he looks like a dope producer.
Mm.
You know, with all the work he has done. Mm. Like he's produced
his catalogue is crazy.
Yeah, his catalogue is crazy, bro. And taking nothing away from the people think when you say you produce a song, now you sidelining the beat maker.
Mm.
No. Taking nothing away from the beat maker. As a producer, you fall under production, and the beat maker falls under beat making. That's it. No one is taking anyone's shine. The only problem is, though, as a producer, you'll be the one, you know, in the forefront because you represent this song.
You're the one making the money because people book the producer, not the beat maker.
You know what I mean? But the beat makers must also have a fee. Like, beat makers must be paid for this thing, bro. Like, it's not fair, you know, for you to be a face of a song, and now the person that was creating the song is now.
What are you doing to change that?
There's ways to do it. Samro actually is head spearing this thing.
Okay.
They on the composition forms. You have lyrics. You've got music, and then they would ask you, "Are you sure you are the well?" That's where you need to be honest.
Mm.
Are you sure you're the only one that produced and made the song? Mm. And then you'll say yes.
Mm.
Then all the monies will go to you. Mm. But if you're honest about your work and you take the producers, the beat makers to the composition and credit them and stuff like that, that's when you'll be fine.
You know, I'm trying to put myself in a beat maker's shoes.
Yeah.
Here I am, came up with the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, sharp. You're going to come and fine tune it, make it better, make it commercial, make it make business sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a producer would do. But at the same time, I might feel like you're riding off my back. You know what I mean? I might feel like you're making money off my idea. Because if you're such a dope producer, why didn't you make that beat?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're a dope producer, you're dope at producing. If you're a dope beat maker, you're dope at beat making. So now, you need to make a choice as a beat maker. If you feel like people are riding you.
Yeah.
If you feel like people are riding you, you need to make a choice. Do I want to be the forefront, a forefront artist? Do I want to be the face of the song or do I want to stay in the back?
Mm.
If you want to be the face of the song, get someone to help you produce then.
Mm.
And then you take it right forward.
With it, yeah.
There's also behind the scenes producers.
Mm.
Yeah. As much as there's behind the scenes beat makers, there's behind the scenes producers.
Yeah.
I've produced... what have I produced that I've produced something on Donald's album that came out I think in 2016.
Yeah.
I didn't come out and say I did this.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? I did that and then he you know led everything.
It's the same thing with Maphorisa. He did My Name Is.
You know what
and
I mean?
Was the
and
face.
He didn't
mm.
you know, he didn't say no, you are outshining me, I wanna you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So also beat makers must learn to do that, to know their position and financially so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Better Days, my favorite song. I think that's my favorite song you've ever done. I love that shit.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's
crazy. Hey,
please tell me, how did that song come about, bro?
Better Days was produced at a back room. I was playing at a tavern in Small Street in Bloemfontein. There's a street called Small Street where I
can have some water there, bro.
Where I started my career. So with Small Street in Bloemfontein, when you play at a certain place, it's like you're supposed to play there like forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pay your dues.
Yeah. So with that, like, I played at Club Kitchen for the longest time, bro. And after DJing, learning how to DJ, it became boring for me. Like, what's next now? Remember, I don't think I'm talented. I think I'm a hard worker. Yeah. I was like, no, what's next now? And then music production came to mind. I was like, cool. I borrowed a laptop from my friend. Kept on going. After 2-3 years, I got the hang of it. And I produced Better Days. Like when I was still sleeping at the back office of the place where I was.
Yeah, I saw that picture you once posted.
Yeah. That's where I produced Better Days. That's where I produced Wajelwa. Beat made and produced. You know, I brought a mic from a guy I forgot the guy's name, man. And we went to his place, recorded the song. And again, at the time, I was already a producer because the lady, Audrey, that's on the song. Also, she came with a lot of lyrics, bro. It's like, no, I don't need this. I need something very subtle. Because, man, when I listen to a song, the first thing I listen to is the beat. And I always want the beat to dominate. You understand what I mean? That's why Better Days has got, like, lyrics there at the end. You know what I mean? So I want the music to be the star. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I've always been that guy. So, and we recorded that song and we didn't have a plan for it. None whatsoever. We're in the Free State. We don't know what we're doing. You know, when I say we, I'm saying me, my girl I used to date at the time.
Yeah, the one you're staying with.
Yeah, the one I was staying with, you know? So she also was like, Munna, you've been in this thing for a long time now.
She reached expiry date.
Yeah, no. Why don't you go and do something? Go be a policeman or some shit. You know what I mean? So yeah. So I entered Ones and Twos. And then everything took off from there.
So the song was big because of Ones and Twos?
I got the platform to push it.
Oh.
Yeah. Ones and Twos gave me an opportunity to push the song.
You were pushing that song on Ones and Twos?
Yeah, I was playing the song all the time. It was crazy, bro. And funny enough, like, I think I was at the right place at the right time. Because I didn't do anything extraordinary. I just went on Ones and Twos and I played the song. It was crazy. It was over.
Okay, and then after that, I think, was it Don't Give Up, the DJ Ganyani remix?
Yeah, Talk To Me.
Talk To Me, sorry.
Talk To Me, the remix.
Yes.
Yeah, and with that as well, I didn't say, I did Talk To Me. Ganyani was in the front of the remix. Even when the remix won Remix of the Year, it was Ganyani's award.
You produced Beat Made that one.
Produced and Beat made it.
And when it goes...
Yeah, so... So it's one of those things. I've never claimed it. Never. Yeah.
And then, so you hit up Ganyani or he was like...
No, he hit me up and said, Ganyani is one of the best people that I know that has got an ear for music. You know what I mean? And he said to me, yo, I don't think this song is doing what I wanted to do.
Is it?
Yeah. Please just do a remix. He actually said I must do a remix. You know, the story is so funny because he actually said I must do a remix of a song called Ntoni. Tony or something on his album. I was like, no, I want the big one. Give me. He said, are you sure? I went, yes.
Yeah.
And then he sent it to me, and then I did the remix. It went crazy. It knocked off the original off the charts.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
which is hard to do.
Yeah, which is very hard to do, man. When you, it's a risk when you like remix a big song.
Okay.
And now it's a risk.
Now I'm like, Prince KB is done. It's over. Wajel.
Yeah, man, it was great those days.
That's still at the back room.
Yeah, still. So well, the songs were recorded in the same month, but I didn't feel Wajel was I don't know what I felt at the time, but I felt Better Days as a more solid song. So I forgot about Wajel at that time. This is too wretched, you know, for what I wanna portray. You know, I've always seen myself as a very musical,
individual.
You know what
and
I mean?
And you pride yourself in that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no matter if it makes sense or not, I always wanna be musical. Wajelwa for me at the time, nah. And then one guy, One guy heard it. Yo. I was like, bro, what the hell?
Just instrumental.
Just the instrumental. Mm. I was like, what the hell? Release this thing, Mona. And I, at the time, I was working on my album because I was, it was after Ones and Twos when people were going crazy. And I was working on my first debut album. Mm. Yo, bro. And then I put that song. And then we chose it as a second single. Mm. It was gone. It actually took the album to its gold status.
When did the vocals come in?
The vocals were before. Mm. Yeah, the original. That's why I said it was a bit too wretched.
Yeah, it is.
BBM Wajella, Facebook Wajella, like what the
It makes no sense.
You know what I mean? So at the time I was like, no, this doesn't represent who I am. And then we came up with the guitar mix and oof.
Give me the next hit. Charlotte. Is it Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte after Better Days. After Wajella.
How did Charlotte come along? Are you at Universal now?
Yeah, now I was at Universal. I've got a JV with my label. My label is called Low Key Records. Mm. I've got a JV with Universal, and that's when we dropped.
Oh, but wait. What happened with you and Audrey? Because apparently you guys had a beef.
Yeah,
like, what
it's
happened?
It's a lyric thing. Remember, I took out the lyrics.
So she was unhappy.
She was unhappy. No, it's a personal writer's thing. You know, they feel that the producer, when you mingle with the words and whatever.
Yeah.
Some sort of disrespect. I do understand that.
Yeah.
But let's look at the bigger picture.
What the song was successful.
Exactly what I mean. But it's a you're entitled, man. Like to your own.
But you paid and everything.
Yeah, no. I don't play that game, bro. I don't play that game of not paying people. Like I've got like an orphanage of 58 kids, bro. Like yeah. I give away money all the time.
Mm.
So for me not to give you a sense of. Remember, royalties are not a lot of money. People think royalties are a lot of money. No, it's not.
The money's in the gigs.
Yeah, the money's in the gigs, bro.
Mm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know this. The
and that's
in
why
the
beat maker gets fucked over. Because you ain't getting no gigs, nigga.
No, bro. And also the endorsements are crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's upper level.
Yeah, that's upper level.
Yeah.
Charlotte.
So you hit up Lady Zamar.
Yeah, I hit up Lady Zamar. We were in Durban at the time. I was I'm still very close with Tira. Tira is one of the guys that welcomed me, you know, with warm hands into the industry. Mm. I went to Afro. I was always at Afro. After Wajella, always, you know. And I liked him. And I he had a different energy about him, you know.
And he's a hard worker like yourself.
Yeah, he's a hard worker. So what happened? Okay, Zamar didn't know Tira. And Zamar was working on Love is Blind.
Mm-hmm.
But Love is Blind wasn't out at the time. So she played me Love is Blind. Hey, Mona, okay, what's going on? Hey, Mona, this is a strong song. Mm-hmm. But there's something else that I want you on. You know, and then I on our way to Bloom. I was in Bloom at the time from Durban, from Afro, in the car. She played me some beats and I played her Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
She was hooked. She got in amazing vocalist. Zama is super talented.
Mm.
For me, she's in the top five, you know, in South Africa, songwriting and singing.
Who is the top five?
Okay, I'll get back to that. You want to put me on the spot right now? So driving to Bloom, played her Charlotte. We got home. My bedroom studio, and she recorded in like 15 minutes.
Wow,
but she recorded a lot and she wrote a lot. This is where our differences came, you know. This is where
we clash of creativity.
We couldn't see eye to eye. And I released the song as is. She was a bit, you know, she was quiet about it. She didn't confront me.
Mm.
I could hear it around.
Mm.
What is Amaya's not happy, you know what I mean? So,
but the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, I do understand that we've made a huge hit. I also understand where she's coming from.
Okay.
As an artist, you understand what I mean? It's not something I should do, but let's look at what it's done for us.
Ah.
You know, look at your career, look at my career.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Who is Charlotte, by the way?
And no, Charlotte is an insecurity. Like, it's not a real person.
Ah.
Yeah. So, for instance, I don't know how to explain this Charlotte story. For instance, when your girl calls, I mean, your girl gets a call and she doesn't answer it in front of you.
Yes.
Yeah, you be feeling insecure. That's a Charlotte scenario.
Mm.
You're thinking someone else. It could, That person could be gay, could be lesbian, could be, you know, a pastor, could be anyone.
Yeah.
So we gave that character a name. Yeah.
Mm.
So the name is Charlotte.
But you guys are cool now.
Yeah, we're cool. Me and Zama are cool. We worked on a song with Afro Brothers titled Own the Night. Mm. The song is out. Zama is cool, man. We're shooting the video very soon of the same song.
Mm.
So me and Zama are cool.
Okay, after that, I'm like, I know he's done. He's out of hits. Yonkinto,
yeah. I don't believe it's a big song.
Mm.
You know, it was just one of those songs.
Mm.
You know, it's a great song.
You did it's that
a,
by yourself.
Yeah, okay. It's a great song.
And then we had Banomoy.
We had Banomoy. Yeah.
Okay.
That was Club Controller before Banomoy.
Oh yes, Club Controller.
Club Controller. Club Controller. Same scenario. The boys came to me.
Who are the boys?
La Soulmates and TNS.
And TNS.
So they came to me and like, yo, we've got a beat. Da da do 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 da da. This song is dry, man. Ish.
Beat makers.
Yeah. I'm like, this song is a bit dry for me. Send me the steps. Let me see what I can do.
Mm.
Called Xander. Xander recorded the vocals. I added some strings, some drums to make it fuller.
Mm.
You know, if you listen to the instrumental and the vocal version, you hear
the difference.
Yeah. So I sent that out to my A&R team. They approved it, and then we released the song Prince KB featuring
TNS,
La Soulmates, and Xander.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't gonna be a Prince KB featuring Xander song.
The
makers must be credited as well. Yeah. So that's what we did with the song and.
So at that point, where does the beef start then? Because doesn't TNS and LaSalle know they're beat makers, or they're not privy of that?
My beef with TNS. Mm. No, my beef with TNS started after Banomoya. Mm. The Club Controller scenario wasn't a problem. Mm. So
how does it get into Shimza's hands? Because I interviewed Shimza and he said that he just had the beat from Tira, but he didn't know who it was.
Yeah, so you know these things where a song is like from WhatsApp, the audio.
Yeah, audio, yes.
Whatever.
Yeah, that it doesn't WhatsApp have a name.
Yeah. So I heard Tira play the song. I was at a show with Utira.
So is he playing the La Sultaness one or the one with your drums?
No. He's not playing one with my drums.
With your drums, yes. Okay.
But the instrumental version.
Without Xander. Yeah.
That time I was still busy with the song.
Cooking.
So we would like, you know, beat making was you're a beat maker yourself, you're a producer.
Yeah.
You'd send something out, comes back, tomorrow you feel some type of way, you change it. Mm. And then as you progress, the song changes so many times.
And it's all via WhatsApp, you're right.
You know what I mean? Mm. So I would send it to TNS, send it to La Soulmates, hey guys, what do you think? No, Rotman has grand. Sometimes they would come to the house and then we would listen to it, change it, and then finally we have a product.
Mm.
So at the time when we were still exchanging the song, I don't know, between TNS or La Soulmates, because La Soulmates is two people, it's Volca and Ador.
Mm.
Between Volca and Ador, the song fell out somewhere.
Gets to Tira.
Gets to Tira, and then I'm like, Mokoy. I'm at a show, I'm like, hey, like, it's like someone took your hard drive. You know that feeling?
I know.
This guy hacked me or something?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, Makoy, where do you take this song?
Mm.
He's like, no, I got the song. Look, I even checked on the CDJ thingy. I'm like, this song doesn't even have a name.
Mm.
I'm like, Makoy, this is my song.
Mm. He's
like, nah. So that's where now you become an idiot. It's like you are claiming.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because they didn't get the song from you.
Yeah.
So now I don't know if Tira gave it first to Shimza or
Shimza went to Tira is like, hey, Makoy, I need fire.
Yeah.
It's like there's this song, it's causing havoc.
Okay.
Gives it to him without a title.
Oh yeah, without a title.
Yeah.
So I see this thing trending on Twitter. And I'm like, and I text Ushimza, but I tweet him, yo, this is my song. And then PH gets in on it. Nah. PH is like, no, I'm going to give the song a name. So they're literally sidelining me.
Mm.
You understand what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, no problem.
Yeah.
I don't need this kind of negative shit in my life. Let me record this thing and then put out the song.
Mm.
Eventually people will know because you know, the paper trails are there.
Yeah.
You know, my hand is in the song, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't like me as an individual, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I'm in that song, bro. Mm-hmm.
Fact.
You know what I mean? So the song then became huge, and Shimza, I don't know if he didn't like what was going on, you know, and then...
Why did you block him, though?
The beef started. Because he didn't want to acknowledge... You know, in the industry, you have got peers, right?
Mm.
So, I recognize your work, you recognize my work.
Mm.
You don't recognize my work and then look the other way. I feel like that's a bit of a disrespect.
Mm.
Like, if you can hear or... I tell you, this is my work.
Yeah.
And then you sideline me.
Yeah.
I feel like that's disrespect, you know? Mm. So I decided, no, I don't need this dude. Let me just, you know, mise and carry on with my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then did you guys end up resolving the whole situation?
Yeah, he went on Twitter and tagged me.
I'm
not a Twitter person.
I don't lie. I've met so many peeps on Twitter, bro.
No, man, not every day. I'm not there all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And I saw that message late. I think I saw that 2 days later.
Mm.
And then I told him, yo, you texting the wrong number. Like, you know, I've changed numbers. And then, yeah, we cool now.
All right. Banamoy.
Yeah.
Hey, my man, can you give me one hit, bro? There's so many. This nigga. But it must be crazy, like, when you get to a stadium, there's like 20,000, 30,000 people, and they're all singing a song, man.
Boy, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I think that's better than sex, bro.
Yo, bro, I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that in front of my girlfriend, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, speaking about energy, like, when you get to a stadium, like, how I see it, you get to a venue, 30,000, 40,000 people. You give them energy and then they multiply that energy and give it to you back 30,000 times. So when it hits you, like, I don't know, it's unbelievable. You understand what I mean?
God, I've never had a hit in my life, but I can imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Okay, Banomoy, what happened there?
Banomoy came out featuring Busi Iswa.
Mm.
That song was sent to two, if not three people.
Okay.
First, I think I tried to get hold of Boosie.
So what do you mean it was sent?
Let me tell you.
Okay.
After the beat was made
and by produced. Who?
The beat was made by TNS.
Okay.
Nah.
Beat maker. Sharp.
Hey. So TNS lived in my house for a year.
Mm.
Whole year. When I met TNS, bro, oof. It was, I saw myself in him, you know, I saw myself in him, and he didn't have parents, both parents. I don't know if he lied to me or whatever, but to me, the story he sold was that he didn't have parents.
Yeah.
And he's just that guy lingering in the streets. And I was like,
trying to push music.
Yeah. Trying to push music. You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, cool. My nigga, come through to the house. I've got a big enough house. God has blessed me, and he didn't bless me for myself. I don't believe he did that for myself. Like, he blessed me to bless others as well, you know. He came to the house. He stayed there for a year. And, you know, gradually so, tried to build him as an artist mentally to avoid these kind of things.
Okay.
You understand what I mean? But for some weird reason, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Because we are here now. so he would be in studio, like, the whole day. I've got businesses, you know. I'm fortunate enough to have started businesses and do
what
other
businesses
things.
Are these?
I'm into logistics.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, and I'm into, like, insurance companies.
Fuck, Prince, you're fucking smart, eh?
Yeah. I've got insurance company that I'm running with a mate of mine. I've got, like, properties and stuff like that. So,
you're funny in the making.
Ah, whatever.
Making the world healthier, safer, and more efficient. That's the mission for IT professionals at Leidos. And right now, they're looking for the next generation of innovators to help transform the business and change the future of work. Excellent pay and sign-on bonuses available. Security clearance required. Put your software skills to work with Leidos. Learn more at Leidos.com/PHX2. That's Leidos.com/PHX2.
Simplify your federal agency's technology procurement with Connection Public Sector Solutions. Connection's dedicated account managers, commitment to exceptional customer service, and extensive catalog of federal contracts make IT purchases quick, easy, and affordable. Turn your challenges into opportunities and get rid of your technology pain points with Connection today. Learn more about what's possible with Connection Public Sector Solutions at Connection.com/FedContracts.